scripture this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, where there is no prophecy, the people shall perish. I love this church. After I retired as minister of Cypress Creek Christian Church 10 years ago, I've visited churches of virtually every denomination in Northwest Houston, looking for a church home. And I finally found it here. This is great. This is a great church. Now, I measure the greatness of churches not in terms of numbers, but rather in terms of intensity of faith, their sweetness of spirit. This is a great church. Now, in the course of my search for a church home, I came to a very disturbing realization. In virtually all of the churches I visited, I saw aging congregations of wonderful people who are content to just come to church on Sunday mornings to have their spiritual needs met, but who don't realize that unless they develop a new vision for sharing their faith with younger families and children, their churches will die when they die. Startled by what I saw in churches in Northwest Houston, I decided to conduct a little personal survey, and I discovered that that scenario is true of every Christian Church Disciples of Christ congregation in the Houston area. Then I took a look at the national scene, and I discovered the shrinking elderly congregations with virtually no children are the norm among almost all of the mainline Protestant denominations. Presbyterians, Methodists, even the Baptists are shrinking. And the statistics for our denomination are particularly startling. When I retired at Cypress Creek in 2008, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ reported a national membership of around 700,000 members. 9 years later, in 2017, our denomination reported a little over 400,000 members. 9 short years and a 40% drop in the membership of the Christian church. What's happening? Well, it has to do with nuns. You know what a nun is, don't you? What is a nun? Huh? A Catholic clergy person? Huh? Well, that's one definition. Spelled N-U-N. There's another type of nun, and it's spelled N-O-N-E. That type of nun describes the number of Americans who call themselves or identify themselves as atheist, agnostic, or nothing at all. And they're lumped together under the umbrella of a term called nuns. And if you ask a nun, what's your religious preference? They will reply, none. And guess what? The nuns in America today total 35% of our total adult population. And here's what's really scary. Among younger millennials, people between the ages of 18 and 25, nuns are 44%. Our kids aren't going to church. My two youngest kids are nuns. They're very spiritual. They care. They engage themselves in activities that really show a love for humankind. My middle daughter started a school in Africa. School teacher. During the summer, she went over there 3 summers and started a school. My kids are very spiritual, but they are not religious. They are not interested in church. So what's the future of mainline Christianity? Those of us who do attend church, are we just riding a dead horse? I don't think so. But the question is, what should we be doing? The Dakota Indians have an old tribal saying, when you discover that you're riding a dead horse, the best strategy is to dismount. In other words, do something different. Now, the federal government has a more advanced strategy for dealing with a dead horse. It's called the dead horse theory. Have you heard it? It's a 10-point strategy. If a government official is confronted with the problem of a dead horse, here's what they're instructed to do. Number one, buy a stronger whip. Two, change riders. Three, appoint a committee to study the horse. Four, and I love this one, lower the standards so that dead horses can be included. Five, reclassify the dead horse as living impaired. Six, harness several dead horses together to increase speed. Seven, provide additional funding and our training to increase dead horses' performance. Eight, do a productivity study to see if lighter riders would improve the dead horse's performance. Nine, declare that as a dead horse doesn't have to be fed, it's less costly, carries lower overhead, and therefore contributes substantially more to the bottom line of the economy than do other horses. And of course, number 10, promote the dead horse to a supervisory position. Well, that's the federal government. But we're not the federal government. We're the church. And I want to tell you that Christianity is not dying. It is enjoying tremendous growth in Africa. It's spirit-filled. It's exciting. And it's meeting the needs of hundreds of thousands of people. Hallelujah! But what about the church here in America? What about us here at First Christian? What can we do to share the faith that is so meaningful to us with the community of nuns around us who are desperate for a spiritual version of Christianity that speaks to their minds as well as to their hearts? Now, you may be saying to yourself, oh gosh, Glenn, we're so few. What can we do? Let me tell you, we can do a lot. Jesus preached to thousands of people. But how many folks did he really work with? Huh? 10? And one of them didn't turn out all that well. But those 9 men had a vision. They believed in that vision. They lived it. And they changed the world. The writer of Proverbs says, where there's no vision, the people shall perish. It's a universal truth. It's true of us. Without vision, our church will perish. With vision, we will thrive. And the faith that we proclaim will thrive in the hearts and minds and souls of folks here in Conroe who are unchurched, but who are desperate for an expression of Christianity that gives meaning to their lives. I look around me, and I see a congregation of 35-year-old spirits, many of whom are inhabiting 15, 16, 17, 80-year-old bodies. We also have some younger folk who've been drawn to our church. And I'm telling you, we can make a real difference in the spiritual environment here in Conroe, Texas. It's all a matter of vision. Now, we've been given the basic vision, this incredible good news of the unconditional love of God revealed through Jesus Christ. In this day of our Lord, where people are desperately searching for a vision that can give meaning to their lives, this good news of God's unconditional love, the good news that fuels our faith, needs to be shared. People need to hear. People need to hear that God loves them, that God accepts them, no matter what. They need to hear that the prosperity gospel that the big-time television preachers are thundering from their gilded production stages, that's not where it's at. This message of, if delivered with a smile, if you just believe, God is going to get you that promotion, heal your disease, restore all your broken relationships, and introduce you to your future sweetheart. It's the prosperity gospel, and the millennials aren't buying it. To speak to their spiritual needs, we need to share with them a different version of what it means to be a people of faith. Now, I want to share with you 3 observations that I picked up as I was visiting other churches looking for this church home. I think there are 3 things, based upon my observations, that will draw the nuns in our community to church. 1, I think they will come to a church that provides a place where people really care for one another. They're looking for a sense of community. A place where they can be loved and where they can love. We've got that in spades here at First Christian. We do. It's the most loving, caring, welcoming congregation I've ever been a part of. Two, I think they're looking for a church that offers them an opportunity to serve. And to serve the needs of the community in a way that really makes a difference. Last week, Bill preached a wonderful sermon. He asked for examples of the way in which our congregation is serving the larger community. And it's astonishing, the things that are going on. I think that the spirit of our church, in terms of wanting to serve the larger community, it's here. I think, as Kenan Callahan said, in order for a church to really capture the spiritual needs of nuns who want to, their lives to count, they want to make a difference in this world, that it's important to identify a real need in the community, to pick out just one major need, and then to serve that need so well that the church becomes, in Callahan's words, a legend on the community grapevine. Let me share an example. About 30 years ago, Lover's Lane Methodist Church, which is right alongside SMU in Dallas, huge church, wonderful church. Well, they were kind of aging and dying, and they decided, let's see if we can't pick out a real community need and address that need whereby we become a legend on the community grapevine in response to that need. And you know what they did? They identified the need in that community. It's a very affluent community. They identified the need to reach out to people who are addicted to alcohol. And so they started all these 12-step groups in the church. You had plumbers, carpenters, guys that are running major companies in Dallas, all coming together in these small AA groups. And the Lover's Lane became known as the church in Dallas that really cares about and speaks to the needs of people who are addicted to alcohol. 50% of that congregation are recovering alcoholics. So the church became known for taking vision and translating it into action. Our looking at Conroe, doing a little study, sharing with each other what we think are the basic needs of this community, picking out a need and addressing that need so that our church becomes a legend on the community grapevine in response to that need. We can do that. Thirdly, I think that nuns are drawn to churches that really pay attention to children's ministry. The few growing churches I visited were ones that had figured out ways of entertaining kids alongside with sharing them with them the news that Jesus loves them. I loved what Bill did this morning. I mean, I came here this morning, I said, Bill, if you don't mind just picking up on everything else, let me just preach. So Bill, with that lovely little homily that he shared with that precious boy, that's what kids need to hear. But it needs to be heard in a way in which kids want to come to church, they feel entertained, at the same time they hear the good news that Jesus loves them. Wish I could sing like that, Bill. I know that when Niebuhr, one of the great theologians of our time, did a seminar, and at the end of it, they went to a big room, and it was at Union Theological Seminary, and the professors and the students put him up on a dais and were asking him questions, and somebody said, if you had one sentence in which to share the Christian faith, what would it be? And he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. Kids need to hear that. Our community needs to hear that. The nuns that are living around us need to hear that. You see, today, families don't bring kids to church. Kids bring families to church. Families with whom we can share the unconditional love and the meaning and the opportunities of service that are at the heart of the Christian gospel. Now, the kid piece, that's something we need to work on, don't we? And we can do it. Our small, faithful congregation if we're intentional, if we kind of look at how some other churches that are growing, that have great children's ministries, we can take a look at that. And we can offer an expression of the Christian faith to the adults at the same time minister to the needs of children. We can do that. Well, that's just my thinking. But what I know, others will have faith-sharing approaches that might be much more effective. But I do know this. The field is ripe for the harvest. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, did you know that Conroe is the fastest growing city in this here United States of America? Right here. The fastest growing city of with a population of over 50,000 in the United States of America. We have a growth rate of 7.8% annually, 11 times the national average. With vision, we can be a tremendous spiritual change agent in our growing community. I just want to close with sharing with you a little saying that was a favorite of my late friend, Dr. Ed Robertson. It goes like this. Vision without action is just a dream. It accomplishes nothing. Action without vision is meaningless. It's just a way of frittering away time. But when we couple action with vision, we can change the world. Now, visions don't just pop up. They take time and intentionality. And we're so fortunate to have in Wayne Ivey one of the most visionary ministers I've ever known. He's got ideas. Bill Ross has got ideas. You have ideas. We share them together, work together. We can develop a new vision. And the living of that vision will enable us to be the spiritual change agent that God calls us to be in Conroe, Texas. So may it be.